You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Tuesday, December 26th, 2017, the second day of Christmas, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Well, we are here to recap yet another Jets defeat. The Jets lost on Sunday to the Los Angeles Chargers 14-7 at MetLife Stadium. And this was really just this was an ugly game to watch. I thought the quality of play was quite low. Very frustrating game, I think, from a Jets perspective. As you round out the season, the team now falls to 5-10. And at this point, you know, we've been saying all year that the Jets were beating expectations. The Jets are beating expectations. And, you know, when you're 3-2, certainly the team was beating expectations. When they're 4-5, you can make the case. Even, you know, 5-7, maybe you can make that argument. But I think at this point, at 5-10, if this team's beating expectations, it's not by a substantial amount. I think this team has pretty much settled into a space where they're right around where people thought they'd be, maybe a tad better, pretty much riding the early season 3-game winning streak. And this is a team that really has not put together many prolonged stretches of quality play, even in that 3-game winning streak. Really, the Miami game was the only game where they played well start to finish. The Jacksonville game really played very poorly in the fourth quarter. A couple plays here that were, you know, right in within Jacksonville's grasp. A couple times the ball's right there for Jacksonville to take. The Jaguars didn't do it. And then the game against Cleveland a week later, the Jets were really outplayed for that in that game in many ways. So it's not even this team is 5-10 and. In some ways, it almost feels like the team might be fortunate to be 5-10 because it just hasn't put together many sustained stretches of quality play this season. And this was just an ugly game to watch. And I'll tell you, you know, the weekend started. The NFL scheduled a couple Saturday games, including there was a game Saturday night between the Vikings and the Packers, and it took the play. They did not play Sunday night, because they did not want to put a game Christmas Eve. So that was the quote unquote Sunday night game of the week. It was Minnesota Green Bay. The Vikings won it. And as I'm watching this game, I think it was like some point in the second or third quarter, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, man, the Vikings have a lot of good players. Every single play, some new guy from the Vikings was getting called out by the announcers. And I'm like, geez, that guy's a good player. And then another guy, the Vikings just have good players up and down their roster. And it started making me think about the Jets. And Jets really don't have many good players. It was really quite a stark contrast. And again, we saw that play out on Sunday as the Jets lost 14-7. And it was a good it wasn't a great defensive effort. Defense played well enough to win, certainly. You know, you give up 14 points, you probably should win the game. But in some ways, the Jets were kind of fortunate to give up 14 points, I think. I thought the Chargers left some plays on the field. And the other thing is, I mean, the Jets did give up a lot of yards. I think the Jets defensively only forced 1 3-and-out. I don't, you know, this is not a game where the Jets were constantly shutting the Chargers down on offense. The Chargers actually were able to move the ball pretty effectively. And, you know, and the Jets had some guys who had up and down games. You know, two guys who really were very up and down, I thought, were the last two first-round draft picks on the team, Jamal Adams and Darren Lee. Early in the game, Adams, I thought, got off to a really great start. He was all over the place. He was making plays. He was giving you little flashes of the player the Jets are hoping he will eventually become and the player he could become in the future. And it's funny because Adams has become kind of a polarizing guy with this fan base, because there are some people who are upset they didn't take Deshaun Watson, and there are other people who think Adams is great. And I think the truth probably lies somewhere in between. I think for a rookie year, this has been a solid rookie year. I think I would have signed up for this before the start of the season. I think he's been an effective starter, but he hasn't been great. I think if he doesn't get better, if this is the player he stays, it would be a disappointment. You know, but rookies, even high rookies, rookies picked high in the draft, you don't always get big-time impact year one. Usually you're picking players for year two and beyond. And Adams had moments early in the game where he looked great, he was all over the place, he was constantly in the middle of plays. And then he got beaten on a couple plays, maybe he overran a couple plays. You know, he got beaten in coverage for a touchdown, and there was another big play later on where he got beaten. And the same could go for Darren Lee. And it was kind of a typical Darren Lee game where if the play was right in front of him, he could make it. And coverage was a struggle. There were other instances where he struggled. So both guys had lots of good, very good plays on their ledger and very bad plays on their ledger. Morris Claiborne, I thought, struggled again. I think he's having a really rough end to the season. He's a guy who might be playing himself off the team next year. I think if the Jets bring him back, it's going to have to be on a similar contract to the one he got this year where he's not making a ton of money, and I think the Jets are going to have to look at bringing in another corner. I don't think you want Claiborne as your top corner next year. There were some very good performances on the defense. Josh Martin, who, if anyways, I mean, Josh Martin was great week one against the Bills, and he's been somewhere between invisible and a liability most of the season since that point. He had a very strong game. So, you know, there were some standouts on defense. Overall, it wasn't the type of defensive performance you usually see when you allow 14 points. Phillip Rivers threw for 290 yards, so this was not a shutdown defensive performance. Rivers, had himself a nice game. It wasn't a spectacular game, but it was a nice game for Rivers. And the Jets gave up 379 yards of offense, which is pretty bad. It's really not very good. But ultimately, I think at the end of the day, this is the type of performance where you should get a win. And they did not get a win. And I think the reason is obvious why the reason the Jets did not win this game is pretty obvious to anybody who watched it. And it was really painful to watch. And sometimes the quarterback gets too much credit when the team wins and too much blame when the team loses. Last 2 weeks, that has not been the case. Bryce Petty was, once again, I think dreadful would be the right way to put it. It's one thing for a guy who hasn't started many games to make mistakes that you point back to inexperience. Maybe a team's running something complex. Maybe he's just seeing a front he hasn't seen before. Maybe he's seeing a coverage he hasn't seen. That's one thing. But Petty is really struggling at just the basic aspects of the quarterback position. One of the things that you need to be able to do as a quarterback in this league is that when the window is open, you got to deliver the ball. If guys open, you don't have another second to wait. Ball's got to be there because that window's going to close in a second. You wait a second, and it's happening too frequently with Petty. And there was one sack where it was a three-step drop, and yes, the Jets kind of messed up their protection on it, and he got sacked partially as a result. But he had a guy open on that. There was a play where he had a guy open. It was a three-step drop. Ball's got to come out quick. I think Dan Fouts even mentioned it as on the broadcast of the game. There were instances where he was throwing deep where the deep receiver was blanketed. There was a touchdown early in the game that Robbie Anderson adjusted to the ball, he caught it. He went in for a touchdown. It was waved back for offensive pass interference because he pushed a receiver. But if you watch the way that play developed, it defies description why Petty would make that throw. Anderson was not open, and that's the reason Anderson kind of had to commit the penalty, as he was not open. It was really an ill-advised throw. The Chargers had that covered pretty well. He kind of threw a duck, too. I mean, it was really not a good throw. It was an underthrown ball. Anderson did what he had to do to catch it and maybe prevent an interception, but I'm watching that play, and I'm just saying, I don't know how you can make that throw. It's really a sin. There were plenty of throws like it. And I mean, there are other instances where he's missing wide open receivers. And as I watch Petty, I feel like I just don't know. I feel like he's not even reading the defense at points. I feel like he's just decided where he's going to go pre-snap, and it doesn't matter what the coverage is going to be. And I mean, there's a guy it reminded me of, and it's a guy you remember. It's a guy I remember. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, where it didn't matter what the coverage was. There were just some instances where even if he just decided, I'm going deep on this play. And he'd make that throw, and bad things would happen. And that's really what you're seeing. You're just seeing things that are frustrating out of Petty. It's one thing to be inexperienced. It's another thing to not be able to grasp the basics of the quarterback position. And it's a little different, say, 2 weeks ago when he was thrown into the fire in Denver, a game where the team was being blown out. He had not been able to practice with the first team all week. He wasn't the guy putting in the game plan. Yeah, that's one thing. And Denver runs a very complex defense that's going to really trick a young, inexperienced quarterback. And I think there were a couple instances in that game where that's exactly what happened. It's another thing to go out there and just look like you don't know what you're doing. Just the basic aspects of the position elude you. And the Chargers are not a team that runs a very complex. This is not a defense that's really built to fool you. Their defensive coordinator is Gus Bradley, who, you know, is a Pete Carroll protege. He's a Pete Carroll disciple. And, you know, if you know anything about the Seattle defenses or the defense, even the defense Jacksonville put in when Bradley was head coach, that's not a defense that's built to deceive you. That's a defense that says, we're going one-on-one and we'll beat you because we have better players. So this was not exactly a team that's running a ton of complex stuff. I mean, they're not that tough to decipher. What they are is that they're saying, we have better players than you. Even if you know what we're doing, we're going to out-execute you. And that's a little different. That's a little different than facing Denver, a team that's running very complicated stuff that's designed to trick you. The Chargers aren't really trying to trick you on defense. And I've started reviewing the film on this game, and that's exactly what I've seen, is that Petty's just missing. You know, and the Jets had plays built to beat this defense, and Petty just could not execute them. And then there are other instances where he's just missing open receivers because his mechanics are falling apart. He's throwing inaccurate balls. And I think ultimately what you're seeing is this is a guy who is playing himself off the 2018 roster, because I think we're reaching a point where I don't see what's gained by bringing him back. You see, in the NFL, you don't need to carry three quarterbacks anymore. There's really nothing gained by it, because the league got rid of something about 7 years ago. The league used to have this thing where you could activate an extra player. He had to be a quarterback, though. He had to be and he was an emergency quarterback, and he could only come into the game in the fourth quarter. And if he came into the game before that, your top two quarterbacks could not had to sit out the rest of the game. So essentially what it was an emergency third quarterback in case your first two guys got hurt. The league got rid of that designation with the new CBA back in 2011. So now most teams are only activating two quarterbacks each game. So really, to carry a third quarterback, the only reason you do it is if you have a young guy who you think is a developmental player. And I mean, as crazy as it is to sound, and I may have made arguments against this, I've kind of changed my tune on this. Christian Hackenberg would make more sense to carry as a third quarterback next year, because he's at least young enough where you could see him turning around. You know, Hackenberg is still a very young guy, early 20s, whereas Petty, right now he's 26 years old, all right? He's in his third year. This is his second coach. This is the second group of coaches. He can't really say it's on the coaches. And he really just has not shown enough. Maybe he's shown some growth from where he was as a rookie. He probably has, but not nearly enough. It really feels like marginal growth is what you've gotten from Petty at this point in his career. And if he hasn't grown by now, what makes you think year four, 27 years old, he's going to be able to do it? And it's not, you know, people always love to crush the coaching staff when a player doesn't perform. Well, Petty came in as a major project. And, you know, you talk about mechanics are very difficult to refine. If you have like one flaw, that you can work on. You know, if there's something with your release and everything else looks good, that's one thing, because you can focus on that one area. But if you need to rebuild a guy from scratch, if a guy for the instance does nothing well coming into the league, it's very difficult to do. And there's a reason there are only so many good quarterbacks in the NFL. It's not an easy position to teach guys to play effectively. They're just, most of the guys who enter the league are not capable of playing effectively for a sustained stretch in the NFL. Coaches always pay for it with their jobs. Coaches always get blamed. And look, there are some instances where coaching does matter, where there's a talented guy who's maybe underachieving because he's not being put in the right position. Take Jared Goff last year, or maybe a guy who's not that talented, but he's put in a position where he can use his limited skills to succeed. Case Keenum this year, but you can't. You can't put a blanket on. You can't make a blanket statement that it's always about coaching, because in many instances, players just aren't capable of making the improvement that they need to make. And I think that's probably what you're seeing with Petty. And really, look, the defense was not. As I said, the defense wasn't great, but defense certainly played well enough to win this game. And this was just, this was a very tough game to watch. I think, and the Jets have turned the brutal Christmas Eve performance into an art form this decade, with the Victor Cruz play 2011 against the Giants, last year's fiasco at New England. So, I mean, the Jets have ruined Christmas Eve. If a football team can, I hope a football team can't ruin your Christmas Eve, because it's just football, so I hope you don't get that wrapped up in it. But to the extent the football team can ruin your Christmas Eve, the Jets have done a heck of a job these last few years. And this was bad. This was an ugly performance. This was a winnable game. I mean, and the fact that, you know, and it's just, it amazes me how low the expectations have become around this team, where people are like, well, they're competitive. I mean, this was ugly. The Jets should have won this game. This game was there for the taking. Chargers did not play that well. Chargers left a lot of plays on the field, and the Jets just couldn't take advantage. And they couldn't take advantage because of the quarterback, who frankly looks not that different. Again, maybe he probably made a little bit of improvement, but this guy doesn't look that different from the player who arrived in 2015 from Baylor. And now we head to week 17, a game at New England where, I mean, I don't know, a game the Patriots need to clinch home field in the AFC playoffs. And the Jets are going in there with Bryce Petty. And I think we're at a point where, I think I was at this point, I did not just reach this point. I don't really care who plays. I just don't think the Jets really have much hope, whether it's Petty or it's Hackenberg. It's one of those things that you can't get riled up about because you have a guy, either way, you're not going in with a guy you feel like you can win with, and you're not really learning anything because you know that these guys can't play. So it's not a situation, you always like to ascribe meaning to a game where you're saying, well, you know, we'll at least get this guy experience. Maybe we'll learn what this guy can do. That's not the case here because you know these two guys are very limited and you can't really get anything. So I don't think it really matters which of the two goes in. That's where we are. Thanks for tuning in today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, you can subscribe. iTunes and Spotify are among your options. And please leave it a good review. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll chat again later this week.